Hi, thank you so much for listening to a Church in the City podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message and that it enriches and encourages you today, and that it can serve towards fulfilling our mission of empowering a movement of passionate Jesus followers.
Anyways, good morning. The number of our days. Actually, what got me focusing on some of this was I read a book just recently, and it was so good. It was so powerful. It was actually about a man who died and went to heaven and experienced heaven, and God showed him things, and he kind of showed him this coming storm, and it was super, like, good. But in one of the things that really, it actually just kind of like wrecked me in such a good way. And that is, he was talking about just the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how just amazing and intense the love is that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit has for us. And he just went into like just amazing detail about how beautiful that love is and how passionate the Father is for us. And some of what he was saying in this book was some of the things that God was showing him, things that are coming. And every time I get up here, I say this, I might sound like a broken record, but I just believe Jesus is coming back soon. I believe he's coming back soon. I think he's going to come back in my lifetime. I believe that. Maybe not. I'm 58, so it's not like I'm up there. Anyway, it just got me just meditating on Jesus and the time that I have left, the time that we have left. You know, we talk about eternity, and to be honest with you, we're actually in eternity right now. From the time you were conceived in your mother's womb, you started your journey, your eternal clock started. You know, it says in Psalms 139, 13 through 16, this is how God sees this. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. That kind of blows the philosophy of the pro-abortion mob. Well, they don't call themselves that anymore. They actually call themselves the right to reproductive freedoms. Yeah, that sounds real good, doesn't it? Really, you know, it's a freedom. Anyways, it's more like bondage. There's no freedom in that. There's no freedom in being able to do whatever you want. Go sleep around, get pregnant, get an abortion, no big deal, right? No, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal to God. In his eyes, he knew us. He formed us in our mother's womb. I'm kind of like getting off track, sorry. You know, there's actually a really cool thing that's going to be happening tomorrow. I don't know if anybody, unless you've been sleeping under a rock or living under a rock, have you heard about the solar eclipse that's coming across the United States? Pretty cool. You know, they say that it actually, from the time it starts to the time it finishes, from the bottom of the United States up through towards Maine, that it will actually go over 7 cities named Nineveh. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, come on. Nineveh. What did Nineveh do? They heard the truth and they repented. And when they repented, God relented. And it actually says that in when we get to heaven, they're actually going to be judging us. They got on their knees and they repented. Sometimes I feel like the United States is, oh my gosh. I don't want to get on all of that, but I'm just telling you, we have got to open our eyes, people, and see what is happening in this country. We don't want to lose our freedom. We have the right to worship and praise our God. We do not want to lose that. Wake up. Let's humble ourselves. And I know some of this is controversial, but you know what? If we, the church, aren't talking about this stuff, who are we letting talk about it? The world? We're going to let the world be the influence? No, we're supposed to be the influence. We're supposed to be the influence in this world. Sorry, I definitely really got off track. I'm so sorry. Back to eternity. We're in eternity. And someday we will step in to, we'll go from this earth to another realm, which is a continuation of that eternity. In heaven or hell, depending on what we choose in this life. We have a choice. The time that we spend here is so fleeting. Our life is so short when you look at eternity. James 4 and 14 says, your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. It also says in Psalms 39:4, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. I want to do something, and I struggled with it because I was like, oh, this might be like... this could be discouraging for some people, but to be honest with you, I'm not doing it to discourage you. I'm doing it to encourage you. So what I would like everybody to do is take out your phones. We all have phones. Come on, take them out. Take them out. Let's say, okay, so they say the average lifespan. And find your calculator. They say the average lifespan of a man is 75 years. That's what they're saying. And I think a woman's 78 years, something like that. it might be a little bit more these days because they have ways of keeping us alive. but I'm going to go real high. I'm going to reach high and I'm going to say, let's go for 85. Let's say we all live to be 85 years old. So what I want you to do is enter in to your calculator, 85, and then minus that with however old you are. Now take that number and multiply it by 365. Now that's how many days you have left to be alive if you live to be 85. That's how many. I don't know, but I'll tell you what, when I did that calculation, I was like, whoa, it just brought my life into perspective of how short it actually is. I figured out my calculations came up with 9,855 days left here on earth. to do what God's called me to do. I don't know why that, it, to me, I was like, oh, I thought it would be like this huge amount. I'm like, 9,855 days, that's it? Holy cow. And if you take off the time that we have to sleep, which is 8 hours a day, roughly, that's a third of your life. Now that's a third now, taking that away from my 900 or 9,855 days. That's like 6,000 something odd days. I'm like, holy cow, Lord, life is short. We have to wake up. What is it he's calling us to do? I figured it out too. I was like, I'm just curious, like, how long have I been here? How long have I lived so far? Because I am 58. I've lived 21,170 days. It just doesn't seem like a lot. But yet, to me, it was a lot. But to God, that's a blink of an eye. Let's just say that you live to be 100, okay? Now, God says that we can live to be 120, but you don't see much of that these days. And you don't even see a lot of people living to be 100, but if you live to be 100, that is only 36,500 days. It's not a lot. Kind of blows your mind. Seriously, blows mine. We have a limited amount of time here on this earth. And there are no guarantees. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees that I'm going to live to be 75. Now, I proclaim Psalms 91 over my life. But there's still no guarantee. We should be living our lives like we're not going to be here tomorrow. That's how we should be living each day, purposing to do what God's called us to do. We can get so caught up in the things of our life that we lose track of how important this life that we've been given is. You know, we get so concerned about things that happen in our lives, the trials that we go through. And, you know, I've been through many, many, many in my life. But man, let's make sure that our perspective is right. Jamie was talking about that, that our perspective, it's our perspective. I think it was Jamie. Somebody was talking about it up here. Our perspective and how we perceive everything in our life. Man, I was reading an article the other day, and it really just grieved my heart. It was about this 28-year-old Dutch woman, Dutch girl. I mean, 28, it's not that old. And it was saying that she wanted to be euthanized, that she was going to euthanize herself because she had a mental issue that her doctor said she'd never get over. And it broke my heart. I'm like, how sad. This poor woman, first of all, she has no idea how precious her life is and how much God loves her and has a purpose and a plan for her. But because she feels like she cannot ever be healed of this issue in her life, that she's just going to take it. Wow. That's crazy. And then as I was reading, I was like, they're talking about there's lots of people doing this. And I'm like, what? How precious is your life? You just don't even understand. Hold on, because God's good and healing's there. Why not trust him for the next day? So many people just don't know him yet. That's why we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. So it brings me to this question. What will you do with the time you have left? What will I do with my 9,855 days? I believe that we're all ordained by God with a purpose and a plan for our lives. Let's walk with intentionality because the time is short. I want to take a look at Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Bear with me. It's long, but I just really feel like I need to read it. This is something that I've really been focusing on. I don't know if anybody's ever, well, I'm sure some of you have, read Matthew 24. It's basically talking about the end times. So good. I encourage you to read it. The rapture's actually in there. Talks about it. It piques your curiosity. But right after that, literally Jesus, as he's saying this stuff about how what's going to happen in the end times, because his disciples come to him and say, hey, listen, what is the deal? What is going to happen? We want to know. We want to know. Will you tell us? And so Jesus proceeds to tell what's going to happen, what it's going to look like. But then as soon as he finishes that, he goes into the parable about the 10 virgins, which is really interesting. And I actually debated on whether or not to talk about that or talk about the next parable that he talks about, which is the parable of the talents, the gifts, the faithful and unfaithful servants. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated. Now, remember, this is Jesus telling this. He's telling this story to his disciples, to us. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account for how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had the two bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have it in abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know, sorry, that was long. I know that this is talking about money here, but I really believe it's an analogy for all things, for the time that we have been given here on earth, for our gifts, our talents, the abilities that God's put in our lives. It's actually, kind of eye-opening a little bit, because to be honest with you, when I read this, I was like, this is so good. But at the same time, I was like, ooh, I'm kind of a little convicted. How good am I always with my time? I'm not always that great with my time, to be honest with you. But at the same time, God's not. God, I really believe this. God is so loving. He loves us so much. He's not up there with a fly swatter ready to, you know, smack us when we've gotten out of line and we've gotten off track. That is not God. That is not how he is. He loves us so much. But I feel like that this story to me is saying, listen, stay focused. Stay focused on what it is that God's called me to. And don't get so sidetracked and get so distracted by all the things that this world has that's bombarding us all the time. Stay focused on the Father. So I was meditating I've been meditating on this for I don't know how long, a couple of weeks at least. And I feel like, I believe this is kind of some of the things that the Holy Spirit showed me about these servants. It says that the man called the servants. They were his. He knew them. He knew all three of them. And he knew them well. It says the master entrusted. He trusted them to care for his money. He also divided it in proportion to their abilities. We've all been given gifts and abilities, each and every one of us. You might not think so. You ask God. If you don't know what that is, if you don't know what your gifts and abilities are, you ask him, because he has them and he's given them to you. It also tells us that he knew them well enough that he knew how each one would be able to handle it. He gave certain responsibilities to each one because he knew who they were. He knew what to expect from them. I believe the two faithful servants knew their master very well. They watched him and they learned from him. So when they were entrusted with the master's money, they knew exactly what to do with it. They were faithful to go to work right away to invest what their master gave them. They glorified their master. They watched him. They spent time with him. They saw what he was doing and how he took care of what his investments were. They paid close attention and they glorified him and they were rewarded for it. Now, the unfaithful servant, he didn't know his master. He really didn't know him. It says he was afraid. He was afraid of his master. He thought his master was harsh. I want to take a minute and highlight here that one of the most important things that you can do is build your relationship with your Father. Amen. Take time with him. Take time out to get in his word and find out who he is and how much he loves you. It's about relationship. I really believe the difference between these servants is servants who knew their master and a servant who didn't know. Spend time with him. Take time. Give time to the Lord every day because he wants to show you great and mighty things. That's right. He wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you how much he loves you. He wants to show his amazing love for you. He's so good. So if you get anything out of this message that I'm giving, it's that. Grow with him. What gift is lying there, just kind of sitting there, not being activated, that God's put in you? I can tell you right now, I never thought I'd be up here doing this. I can tell you that. So God's just so amazing. It's like, as you spend time with him, he'll show you great and mighty things. He'll show you what he wants you to do. And to be honest with you, I kind of feared getting up here when I first did. I was up all night the first time I ever got up here actually to preach, because I was just like, I don't know if I can do it. But you know what I've learned? I can't. But he can in me. It's his anointing on me. It's not me. I can't do anything without him. We can't do anything without him. We can't do any of this in our own strength. We have to run after him. He's so good. Okay. Back to the unfaithful servant. Where was I? Hold on. Oh, he also, this one was huge. He also took what he was given for granted. Ooh. He took for granted what he was given. He didn't value it. He didn't think it was important. In fact, he dug a hole and put it in the hole and buried it back up. Don't take for granted the things that God's put in you. Things that God's given you. Don't take it for granted. His master called him a wicked and lazy servant. Wicked meaning unscrupulous or morally wrong. And lazy meaning unwilling to work or lack of care. This is really is describing the character of the servant. Lack of care. Let's be careful to do what God's called us to do. Let's be careful to spend time with him. It also says that he hid the bag of silver in the earth. He took what he was given and he used it for his own purposes on this earth. In 1 John, it says, do not love this world or the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything you see, and pride in your achievements and possessions. I call this the lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, and the pride of life. A good example of that, I think, would be in saying this, where he put it in the earth. He purposed to do what he wanted in the earth with that. He just buried it in there, stuck it in there, and left it there. But I feel like what the Holy Spirit was showing me is like somebody who has, say, a gift that God gave them, like the ability to sing. And they take that gift and become this big star apart from him and do it in their own desires, their own wants, their own will. They take the gift, because that is a gift from God. That's a gift from him. They take it and they do what they want with it. We also can see he didn't have purpose. He wasn't purposeful with his time or his time management. His priorities were out of whack. Instead of working hard, he chose to take the easy way out. Instead of doing sometimes the difficult things, the things that sometimes aren't easy when we're serving the Lord, when we're doing the things he's called us to do. Sometimes it's not easy. Ask the care workers back there. I'll bet you anything. They'll tell you, ain't easy. That's not a job I'd want. Just saying, I would not want that job. Anyway, he controlled his life and he did what he thought was important. He walked in foolishness. He didn't have a teachable heart and he walked in his own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and do not depend on our own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. The unfaithful servant was wise in his own eyes. The band can come up. Sorry. He was wise in his own eyes. How many times have we been wise in our own eyes? I got so convicted, guys, literally with this message, because there's times I've been wise in my own eyes. I do things the way I think they need to be done instead of running to God first. I do what I think. That's foolishness. Now, this message was not meant to discourage. It's meant to encourage. Okay. Anyways, it's meant to encourage. Because I'm telling you, there will be a day when we stand before him. And I believe we will give an account for our lives. And you know what? I would love to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Also, I want to go back to the whole abortion thing. Listen, I am not judging anybody who has had an abortion. That is not my heart. I myself, when I was 16 years old, had an abortion. I believe I can speak on these things and not, I know what went on. I know what happened. I know what they do. I know how they deceive you. So there's no condemnation here. Just in case somebody was taking some of it. It's not. There's none. God is faithful to forgive. And he has forgiven me and he's forgiven you. All you have to do is reach out and ask for it. Let's just pray. Lord, open up our spiritual eyes. Help us to fulfill all that you've purposed for us. Help us not to squander the time that we have left here on earth. Help us to be purposeful, for the time is short. Help us not to take for granted what you have given. I thank you that you have given us the wisdom, the strength, and the ability to do all that you've called us to do. You are faithful to complete the good work that you started in each and every one of us. I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you again for listening to this episode of A Church in the City. If you could use prayer for anything in your life, we would be honored to partner with you. Send us an email to prayer@dccgr.org. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend so that we can fulfill our mission of empowering a movement of passionate Jesus followers. Before you go, a quick reminder about our fundraising for the Roots Project. You can get involved in a bunch of different ways by going to achurchinthecity.org/miraclegrow. Thank you and God bless you. We'll see you next time.